question or comment? Need savvy travel advice? Connect with Rudy, Robert, and Mary anytime on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at RM World Travel. Now, back to RM World Travel.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Rudy Maxa. This segment of the program is sponsored by the 24/7 burglar busting protection for your home or business called simplysafe.com/travel. Got some big news to share with you. In the last 2 weeks, simplysafe.com/travel won Editor's Choice Awards from CNET Magazine, PC Magazine, and The Wirecutter, three respected product testers. They put the system through a battery of tests, compared it to other security products, and simplysafe.com/travel won every time. Robert, Mary, and I have been telling you about this system for several years now. It's an outstanding security system for your home or small business. And it's not just the carriers or me telling you this, as Simply Safe now protects more than 2 million Americans. Their sensors are so tiny, you won't even notice them, which means a burglar wouldn't either. It's unbelievably easy to use, and you can control your system right from your phone. But here's the most important reason. This isn't some gadget, but rather a comprehensive protection plan for all your windows, doors, homes, or home or office. And there's 24/7, 365-day-a-year service, while professional alarm monitoring is only $15 a month. I should also mention, there are no contracts. No one else is doing it like this, so go to Simply Safe. That's spelled simply with an I, S-I-M-P-L-I, simplysafe.com/travel, or you can find the link at rmworldtravel.com by looking under sponsors. Well, during our Write Stuff segment about a month ago, we met author Brian Kastner, whose new book is titled Disappointment River, and it told the largely unknown story of a fur trader who found the Northwest Passage to Alaska and the Bering Sea 14 years before Lewis and Clark did, but he died not knowing he'd succeeded. Today, I'd like to introduce you to an author who looked at Alaska, specifically the Alaskan coast, in a very different way, courtesy of, again, a largely unknown and very unusual expedition that occurred in 1899. Mark Adams is a writer whose book, Turn Right at Machu Picchu, was a New York Times bestseller. What a great title, Turn Right at Machu Picchu. His new book comes out this week, and it's titled Tip of the Iceberg, My 3,000-Mile Journey Around Wild Alaska, The Last Great American Frontier. Welcome to the show, Mark. Nice to have you aboard.
Thanks for having me, Rudy.
Well, let's start with this expedition. Who was the brains and money behind it? What was its purpose, and what made it so unusual?
Well, what happened was in 1899, Alaska cruises, not too different from the ones we see today, had become fairly fashionable. You go up the Inside Passage, you see some scenery, you come back home. So Edward Harriman, railroad tycoon, decides he's going to refit a steamship, a sort of a gigantic luxury yacht to follow the coast of Alaska, and he's going to go further all the way out to the Aleutian Islands and beyond. And he's got so much room left over that he says, you know, I'm going to invite 24 of America's top natural scientists, writers, and artists, including people like John Muir, the founder of the Sierra Club, and George Bird Grinnell, who founded the Audubon Society. And they take off for Alaska altogether, and, Harriman's got 24 of America's greatest minds with him.
And it's interesting because Harriman, if I recall correctly, he basically wanted to just go shoot a bear somewhere.
Yeah, his objective was to shoot a gigantic Kodiak bear that he could bring home as a trophy. And he did get one in the end. But what really happened was they got up there thinking they were going to find, as most people do, this gigantic, vast, gorgeous wilderness. But there was also sort of a proto-environmental crisis brewing up there as well.
You said there have been several big environmental crises in Alaska, not the least of which was the one that most of us can remember in, was it 1998, when the Exxon Valdez spilled
right.
its...
The Valdez disaster, exactly. Alaska has seen a lot of these over the years. And, in 1899, it was gold mining. They're dumping cyanide into the water. They're overfishing the salmon to the point where the species might go extinct, which, seems incredible now that Alaska is synonymous with salmon. But it was a real problem at the time. And what they do is they came back, they talked to their pal Teddy Roosevelt, who, by an assassination a year or two later, becomes president all of a sudden. And Roosevelt says, let's start setting aside these huge swaths of land in Alaska. Millions and billions of acres. And that's why so much of Alaska is preserved today.
And in a minute, we'll talk about that subject and bring it up to the current day. But let's go back to this expedition. I was fascinated. This was no bare-boned expedition. First of all, there were 126 folks aboard Harriman's ship, you said.
Yeah.
And can you mention some of the provisions that were loaded aboard that 250-foot luxury ship when it jumped off from Seattle?
I mean, they had several milk cows. They had a piano. They had what was believed to be the world's largest library on Alaska. This was, you know, the highest end cruise that you see today. This would have been above that, you know, in terms of comfort level. A lot of these guys on this expedition were, you know, guys who had, you know, like been on like, you know, John Wesley Powell's expeditions down the Colorado River in the 1870s. So they didn't know what to make of this comfort at first. So they seemed to adapt to it pretty quickly.
A lot of champagne and a lot of cigars. And this assemblage of environmentalists, early environmentalists, and outdoor experts, for lack of for a very general term, sort of put together by the editor of one of the founders of the National Geographic Society, Fore Harriman, correct?
Yeah. Hart Merriam, who is a big figure in American natural history, organized the thing for Harriman and, you know, brought all of these people together for the first time. And what ends up happening is that this ship, you know, even the smoking lounge on this ship, it serves as sort of a crucible for what we now know as the conservationist or environmental movement, because all of these minds are coming together for the first time, and they're trapped, and they're trading ideas. And, you know, these are men who have the power to get things done in Washington when they get back.
And we're talking 1899. My guest is Mark Adams, a writer, journalist, and editor, author of a brand new book coming out this week called Tip of the Iceberg. And it's about his retracing via ships and airplanes this 3,000-mile journey, not just on the Inside Passage up the southeastern coast of Alaska, but all the way up and around toward the Arctic. I was stunned to read, Mark, you told me about it. Were you as surprised as I was that the Inside Passage has now surpassed Orlando and Las Vegas as the country's number one tourist destination?
Yeah, that was the Travel Agents Association did a survey a couple years ago, and everybody was surprised that Alaska was like the most sought-after trip of the year. But, you know, I mean, it's easy to realize when you look at the numbers. 1 million people are going to take cruises to Alaska this summer, probably more, maybe 1.1 million. The thing is that the ships are so spread out, and Alaska is so vast that it seems like you've got the whole place to yourself. It's not like going to Disneyland and seeing 50,000 people.
And if every one of those million bought your book, you'd have another bestseller in the New York Times bestseller.
Oh, my God, Rudy, I'd call you on a solid gold telephone.
I've got to say, let me just say as an aside, if you have been to Alaska, if you're thinking about going to Alaska, or if you are going to Alaska on a cruise or otherwise, you've got to get Tip of the Iceberg by Mark Adams, because it will give you what Mark does is weave the history of this Harriman voyage, which was how long? Several months, Mark?
Yeah, it was the whole summer.
Whole summer, this voyage up the coast of Alaska with the history of Alaska, the history of fishing, their environment, the gold rush, along with his personal quest to stay out of a bear's way while seeing the same things that Harriman and his team did. You noted, Harriman did finally get that Kodiak bear, and apparently you said that skull is probably somewhere still in the Smithsonian. You saw a couple of bears as well.
Well, unexpectedly. You know, I'm in Glacier Bay. I'm on this sort of stony beach looking at the sunrise at 4 o'clock in the morning, thinking how lovely it is that there's no one around me for 20 miles. And then out of the corner of my eye, I see these two brown splotches slowly start ambling toward me, and I realize it's two brown bears. So that was an unexpected surprise, to say the least.
I like the piece of advice one Alaskan gave you. People were saying, well, you know, play dead for this color bear, or here's how you can look at their scat and figure out what this. And somebody said, hey, just bring a gun and someone slower than you. I love that.
Right. You'll hear that again and again if you go into a deep Alaska.
That is great. Well, we only have 2 minutes left.
Yeah.
You write that glacial behavior is an excellent indicator of slight changes in the environment. And a research scientist at the U.S. Geological Survey used something called repeat precision photography to catalog those changes, showing pictures of particular swaths of land or icebergs 100 years ago and what's there now.
Yeah.
What is should we be hopeful? I know the current administration is, there's a big move to open the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge,
right,
and things might be going downhill as opposed to forward environmentally.
Well, this is part of the great tension in Alaska. The whole state runs on oil money, and the state, at the same time, it's melting. You know, the cities are eroding into the ocean. The permafrost is buckling highways because it's thawing. I don't know whether to be hopeful or not. Certainly, the idea of drilling for oil in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge is not going to help anything. So, you know, I did speak to Bruce Molney at the USGS, and he studies the glaciers, and he said, you know, look, they're not going to be gone tomorrow, but if you do want to see a glacier, I'd start thinking about making my plans.
I like the quote you have from geographer Henry Gannett, who was on that cruise, the original one, quote, "If you're old, go by all means, but if you're young, wait. The scenery of Alaska is much grander than anything else of its kind in the world, and it's not wise to fill one's capacity for enjoyment by seeing the finest first," unquote. What a great quote. Mark, we have to say goodbye to you, but thank you so much for writing such a fascinating book. It's a great read. Again, if you have Alaska's on your itinerary, Tip of the Iceberg by Mark Adams. Mark, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks so much, Rudy.
We'll be right back here in Arm World Travel right after this commercial break. Do stay with us.
Today's edition of RM World Travel is coming right back, and you can also stay connected with the program at rmworldtravel.com.